I was reading, I forget the exact scripture, but where it talks about good company, bad company corrupts good morals. And I just want to share with you guys, because I have a lot of good friends that grew up in church, and a lot of actually family cousins who grew up in church with me, and they would sing, and they would be in ministry, or they were in ministry, and then they got too smart for church. Can I say that again? They got too smart for church. I won't talk about people specifically, because if this is a podcast, I don't want them getting mad and calling me after. Hey, man, you were talking about me. I know you were. But, you know, it's just, listen, I have family, have friends who grew up in church with me, and they just got too smart for church. They started to question God's healing. They started to question God's power. They started to question different things. And you know what? The sad thing is that a lot of them got discouraged, and a lot of them got really infected with just crap because of the internet. And what happens is that you go on YouTube and you start to watch videos of whatever, the earth is flat stuff, and just like weird stuff, you know? And then what happens is that those videos will somehow, like, it's how Satan works, but you'll start finding videos of this. They start talking about pastors, like, this pastor is a false prophet. And then you can get hooked on this stuff, and then all you're doing is just feeding your spirit, and the devil just, he just lies to you, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, that, you start judging. And we learned on Sunday that Jesus even said, I'm not the judge, the word is what's going to judge you. So listen, is this a side note? I'm not going to preach on this today, but finish the race. Endure the race. Don't be deceived. Don't be, you know, don't believe these lies of these people who post crap on. What's up, bro? Amen. So, just listen. If you're watching stuff, just read your Bible. And if it, you know, this is where the truth is. And this is where you're going to find your truth. Amen? So, because who made up these videos? Who knows? This is people that are, you know, just really smart for church, apparently. Amen? So, that was just a side note. Amen? And so let's just pray before we start. And I just want you guys to, if you can, just get a little closer. We're a family. Nobody's going to bite you. Nobody's going to pinch you. So, if you're in the back, get closer. Let's fill in the rows. Amen? Don't everybody run at one time. Come on, guys. I don't want anybody falling or tripping right now. Come on. Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for every person, every heart that's here, that we're not distracted, but we're listening. And I just thank you, God. Right now, we cast out the spirit of distraction. And we just, you know, let's just pray over that, guys. Come on, help me. Let's just cast out a spirit of distraction, and we just welcome right now your Holy Spirit, who's going to just help us focus right now and catch something, Lord, that you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So today, guys, last week we spoke on Jeremiah. You guys remember, right? And this week there was something that triggered. It's nothing to do with what Pastor Drew had on Sunday, but remember what he said that, what was point number one? See if you guys remember. We persuade men. We persuade men. And in that scripture, it talks about the terror of what? Remember that scripture, guys? It talks about the terror, right? That we persuade men because of this day that's coming, this judgment day. And that day, that word terror triggered something in the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to read over it today. And God was just, he was just speaking to me of times where I've been discouraged. And I want to share to you from the bottom of my heart today of times where I've been discouraged, but how God has lifted me up, amen? Because discouragement is a really bad place to be in, guys. And we all go through it, amen? Discouragement is, everybody goes, who's been through discouragement in life? And honestly, sometimes some people's discouragement is a lot deeper than others. Maybe you got a bad grade and you get discouraged until you do good in your next test. But some people go through really, really crazy discouragements. And I've been there. I'm sure Pastor Tamara could come up here and talk about times where she's been discouraged. I'm sure Pastor Paul could come up here and talk about times that he's been discouraged. We've all been there, guys. It's normal. Amen. But it's how we deal with discouragement that's going to really either push us to our destiny or really hold us back. Amen. So it's a part of life. Amen. So we're going to read here in Jeremiah. Everybody go to chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. Remember, guys, Jeremiah was a what? He was a prophet, amen? And this guy was obedient to God. He spoke the truth, and he brought it. He wasn't scared of what people said, but discouragement came to his life, and we're going to read on that today. Just to give you guys a little background, he was giving a word to the city, amen, and this priest, his name was Pashur. Everybody say Pashur. I don't even know if I'm telling you guys to say it right, but Pashur. He got really upset that Jeremiah was speaking the truth. Pashur used to, let me see where I can find it. This guy he was preaching lies in the name of God and encouraging idolatry in the temple. So Jeremiah got up and gave a word of judgment to the city. And Pashur got really upset. So what he did is he sent him out and he put him on these things called, what were they called? We're going to read it right now. But pretty much it's like this machine that you put your head in. Have you guys ever seen that? And you put your hands in like this and stocks. And you imagine just being all day just like in this thing. I complain about sleeping on my bed sometimes because I'm so uncomfortable. Ask you now. Our kids sleep with us right now and it's not terrible. It's awesome, right? But... But say if this is our bed, we used to sleep like four like the long way, but then it got really tight, and I was sleeping like on the corner, and it was just so now we sleep like sideways. So we have a lot of space, but our feet are like coming off the bed. But this guy was on these stocks for I don't know how long he was there, but it's an uncomfortable place to be in, and. All because he was speaking truth. So we're going to read here. It says, now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied the truth pretty much. Jeremiah was bringing the truth to the city, and this priest got upset. And he says that in verse 2, then Pashur, he struck Jeremiah, the prophet. He didn't just strike him one. He beat Jeremiah. And it says that he put him on the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Check this out. You're speaking the truth, and they bring you outside of Hope Community, and they put stocks out there for saying the truth, and you're just there. People are coming to church, and they're seeing the prophet of God. How embarrassing is that? How degrading is that to a human being that you're just there put to shame? They used to put criminals, people that robbed, people that burglarized, people that were thieves. They would put him in these places, but the prophet of God was in that place. There was no honor. There was dishonor and hatred. And it said, and it happened on the next day that Pashur brought Jeremiah out to the stocks. Then Jeremiah said to him, the Lord has not called your name Pashur, but Magor Misabib. This name, I looked it up and what it meant, and it means, this is what it means right here. We'll go to verse 4. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you, this is what the name means, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. Imagine your name being, imagine Paul, hey Paul, your name's going to be this terror to yourself, bro. And they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and your eyes shall see it. I will give all of Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. This is God speaking through Jeremiah. And he shall carry them captive to Babylon and slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of this city and its produce and all its precious things. All the treasures of the kings and Judah, I will give into the hand of their enemies who will plunder them, seize them, and carry them to Babylon. This is a strong word that God is giving to this priest through Jeremiah. And you, Pashur, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity. You shall go to Babylon, and there you shall die. This is crazy. And be buried there. See, imagine they tell you, look, you were born in America, but you're not worthy of being buried in America. You're going to be buried in, like, well, Catalina Island is still America, but you're going to be buried in, like, some crazy, crazy country. I don't say any countries, because if you're there, if you're from there, then I don't want you getting mad at me, right? So, anywho, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. Amen? Oh, Lord. Now, look at Jeremiah's heart. Look at his discouragement that comes here. Oh, Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and I have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, look at what Jeremiah says. I will not mention of God no more, nor will I speak his name. But listen, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary and I was holding back, and I could not. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he could be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hands of the evildoers. Amen? And we'll leave it right there. We'll leave it at 13. Listen, guys. Discouragement will come. The Bible says that in this world we will have afflictions. There's times that I've seen my parents be joyful because they get to come and serve, or they get to serve. And there's times that I've seen my parents weep because one of the people that they served either backstabbed them or started talking trash behind their back. It's life. They say, listen, we serve people because we love God. We don't serve people because we want their money. We serve people because that's our calling. People will always let you down. Trust me. Pastor Tamar, people will always let you down, right? Actually, not everybody will let you down. I have really cool friends. Pastor Tamar, Pastor Drew are one of them. They've never let me down in the 9-10 years that I've known them. I've called them and they've answered. I'll text them, hey, I need to talk right now, and they'll call me. Never have I heard, hey, Pastor Tamar was talking trash behind your back. Never have I heard, hey, Pastor Paul was talking smack behind your back, Isaac. Never. Do we hang out all the time? No. But guess what? I know they love me, and they know I love them. Amen? Listen, this is the first point that God wants to share with you guys. Point number one is be honest. Be honest. And this is, I'm talking about be honest with God, because we're going to break down these scriptures and see. Be honest. Tell God how you really feel. God understands how you feel. Jesus was human. He was tempted in every way. He was crushed. He was let down by his own friends. People ran when they came to seize him. They all fled, guys. Yet he was honest with God. He said, God, why have you forsaken me? That's how he felt. Sometimes we hold it in, and honestly, that only makes your discouragement grow into a deeper level. Listen, guys, the first thing that you have to do when discouragement comes in your life is just be honest with God. Look, let's go to that verse that I gave you back there. Look at verse 7. Look at, he says, Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. Hey, listen, you convinced me that this was the thing I had to do. And I was persuaded. I did it because I believed you. You are stronger than me. See, look, he says, I am in derision. Everybody makes fun of me. Everyone makes fun of me. He's just telling his father how he really feels. Listen, guys, it all starts with honesty. Tell God how you really feel. And listen, don't tell him in a complaining way, because trust me, we could complain every day about things in life. Life is bad because people are around us. I've let people down. I'm sure I've been like the cause of somebody crying. Trust me, my mom's cried many tears for me. I caused that. God didn't cause that. I caused that because of my disobedience. Amen. But listen, I remember my dad telling her specifically, don't worry about him. Just let's fast and let's pray. And she was like, well, fasting and prayer doesn't work. We have to tell him. He was like, no, chill. Let's just fast and pray. It works for everything else. Why is it not going to work for Isaac? Amen? Be honest. Everybody say, be honest. See, Jeremiah felt deceived by God. He felt that God, you know, he called him to a job that he felt like he just set Jeremiah up. But that wasn't God's plan. Amen? See, God wants us to talk to him even if we're upset, we're frustrated. He wants us to tell him the truth. Amen? See, a lot of dishonesty goes on in relationships sometimes with people, right? Have you ever been dishonest to a friend? Have you ever been dishonest to your mom or dad? See, we're used to being dishonest in our relationships. And sometimes that carries over to our relationship with God. But God sees everything. God knows the truth. Let's not carry the ways that we interact with our friends and people. Don't let that carry over to our relationship with God. Amen? Amen? Number two. Keep at it. This is real simple, guys, real practical. Keep at it. I'm talking about God's calling. Go to that scripture that I gave you guys back there. Then I said, I will not make. See, this is how Jeremiah feels. I will never mention the name of God ever again because he's let me down. He's deceived me. But his word, everybody say his word, was in my heart like a burning fire. See, if there's a calling in your life, there's nothing that you can do. You could run from it. I've tried to run from it many times. But there was always this, I could hear my dad or my mom just speaking. And I would think like, man, like, they're probably praying for me right now. Honestly, I don't know if it's, I'd be out doing bad things and I could hear my parents speaking like, Isaac, you're better than that. God has a calling on your life, mijo. And I'd be like, oh, stop praying right now. Stop praying. Like, you can't like sin comfortably. You know what I mean? There's always this like conviction there of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit using like your parents and people. Amen? See, there's a fire shut up in his bones. He was worried of holding it back, and he couldn't. Even if you try, you're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to. I remember my dad telling me, and this was harsh for me because I'd be like, man, God isn't like that, Dad. He'd tell me, Isaac, listen. Listen to me because I'm telling you nicely. If God wants to call you back harshly, he will. So listen to me right now that there's grace and there's mercy for you. Don't take off outside of the covering, because once you go outside the covering, even I can't do anything for you. Amen? So listen, guys, if discouragement comes, the best thing to do, if you feel, I've sat in these chairs feeling discouraged. Because I understood one thing. Listen, I could be discouraged, but I'd rather be here than be out there. Because here, Pastor Drew would get up here and it'd be like he's speaking right to me. And I'd be like, oh, cool, I feel a little bit more encouraged today. And then I come the following week and it's like, dude, like, again, to me, that was for me. I remember last year I was going through some crazy, crazy times. And I was sitting right over there where Chanel was sitting, and Joel was speaking up here on Psalms. Remember that psalm, bro? Psalm 91. And the whole psalm was me. I almost slipped. But you were there, God. Listen, guys, it's better to be discouraged here in church than to be discouraged at a club. It's better to be discouraged here at church at a Friday night event. Coffee house coming up, $10. Be here. You like that commercial, huh? Than to be at a club on a Friday night drinking with your pals. Trust me, I assure you that you'll walk out encouraged from here, not drink your sorrows away, drive home, get a DUI. Now you're super discouraged because you're in county jail and your mom doesn't want to bail you out because she told you so. Amen? And don't call me either, amen? Because don't be throwing, oh, my buddy's a cop. What? I ain't no cop, man. I'm just a preacher, man, that plays the piano sometimes, huh? Amen? Are you guys learning something?
Yeah.
Number three, guys. Number three, be watchful. Remember, God is with you. Discouragement times, you have to really be mindful, watchful. They used to have these guys, these watchmen. They would just get up on these towers and just stand guard for the whole city. Listen, when you're discouraged, sometimes we put our guard down. And that's the easiest time for Satan to come and lie to you. Amen? This is when, remember what I told you guys. This is when you start going online. Boys, this is when you start going online. Oh, I'm so discouraged. I need something to just stimulate my brain and forget about my problems. And then you have your 5 minutes of fun, and then you're more discouraged, and then now you feel like a dirty pig. Amen? Satan loves discouragement. Because he's like, this is my time. Yes. Amen? Be watchful. Remember, God is with you. Let's go to that verse, brother, sister. But the Lord is with me. Remember this, the Lord is with me as a mighty awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will greatly be ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. Trust me, God is with us. Amen? I'm almost done. And the last one, which is my favorite one. Trust me, this one always works. Worship God. Time of discouragement. Just take... time out discouragement. Let me just tune in to God for a little bit. Trust me. Even if you make yourself call somebody, there's times where I've been discouraged and I'll just call somebody who's like, I'll call one of my friends who's like legit always. And trust me, they'll call me when they're having their discouragement times. And I always say, hey, bro, I'm feeling kind of discouraged. And you know what they'll say? Listen, bro, let's just pray and let's just sing a song. All right. What song do you want to sing? And then we started just singing on speakerphone. Like freaks. Jesus freaks. It's not a bad thing to be a freak. Amen? Amen? And just worship him. Look at what Jeremiah does here. He starts to proclaim the name of God. Come on, give me that scripture, sis. Sing to the Lord.
Yeah.
He's in these states feeling like trash and people are mocking him and laughing at him. And he's saying, sing to the Lord. This is what Paul and Silas did. This is what Paul and Silas did when they were in prison. The darkest hour, it says, at midnight, they were chilling in chains and shackles, and they were in prison. Let's just start singing, brother. Let's just start to sing a song. What song do you guys want to sing right now? Even that song. You said Jesus loves me? Exactly. You just start to smile and remember, God, man, God, you love me. You've delivered me. Amen? Look, the life of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. All we got to do is praise God. I preached on this a long time ago, but look, this is what worshiping does. Praise recognizes a provider. God, you're my provider. You are my supply. You're my joy when I'm going through sadness. You're my encourager. You're my helper. Praises acknowledges God's plan, that God has a plan. Hey, this is happening for a reason, and if this is happening, I'm gonna grow from this, and I'm gonna be so much stronger than this discouragement right now. Yeah. Trust me, I could sit here, I could have Pastor Tamar come up here and say, listen, her discouragements that come now as an adult, as a parent, are probably crazy, a lot stronger than her discouragements when she was 17, 18 years old. Yes or no? My discouragements, when they come sometimes, it's because like crazy stuff is happening in my life, at work, with my family. Then, I mean, what do you guys have to worry about right now? I'm not saying that you guys aren't going through stuff, but listen, you're going through stuff right now because you're going to come out stronger. And guess what? Discouragement will come 5-10 years from now. Trust me, you have to remember, listen, if God delivered me from this one 5 years ago, he delivered me from this one 10 years ago, he delivered me from this one 15 years ago, he's going to get me through this one. And listen, this is how you have to think. God is the same. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He was in the beginning, he was in the end. He was with you in through this one, but guess what? He's already been through the one you're going to get through. That's crazy if you think about it like that. God, what's going to happen in 10 years? I don't know. God knows. He's already been there. And guess what? He already got me through that one. He's like, dude, listen, I've been here. I've been 10 years in the future. And you're going to get here, and I've already conquered this one. Don't even worry about this one. Amen? Amen. Listen, this is another thing worship does. Worship helps you with the present. Worship helps you get through what's going on right now. Listen, just start to worship, guys. We're going to do that in a little bit. And this is my favorite one. Worship releases God's power. Worship releases God's power. That's my favorite one. People start to worship, things happen. I remember when, I've told you guys a story, but I love this story so much because it's my daughter. When Andy was born, she wasn't breathing right. She was gasping for air. She was making these weird noises. She had all these tubes down her throat. And it went from joy to like sorrow real quick. And Chanel's there, laid out. She didn't even, like, not that she didn't care, but she had no energy to be, like, worried about Andy because she's, like, she just got done delivering a baby. And I'm just there, like, watching them, well, the doctors just do all these crazy things to my little girl. And she's like, call your parents, tell them that she's born. I didn't even want to call anybody because I didn't know if she was going to be okay or not. And I was just like, I just wanted her to be fine. I didn't care about anybody else. And I was watching the doctors, and they were talking to one another, like, whispering. Like, I was like, what are you guys saying? Like, what's wrong with her? Like, well, we're going to have to take her to this other ICU for babies unit because she's not breathing. She's got all this liquid in her lungs and blah, blah, blah. She was like, making these weird noises. Guys, it was freaky. And I remember her, she said, text your parents and tell them to start praying. Thank God for Chanel because, honestly, I wasn't even thinking about praying. I was just thinking of, like, is my little girl going to be okay? And for those of you who are parents, you know what I'm talking about. Like, when you see something like that happening, it's a freaking moment. I've waited for this girl for 9 months plus. And the first thing that I experienced is, like, just this ugly, ugly feeling. And I remember her texting me. I text my dad, and my dad's like, hey, we're praying out here. God is in control. You know, she's healthy. And I started to kind of cry. I was trying not to turn around. Like, there was tears on my eyes, and I just started thanking God for Andy. Like, thank you, God, for Andy. Thank you, God, for Andy. Thank you so much for my daughter. And seriously, they, like, walked her out, and they walked her right back in, and she's like, well, we don't know what happened. She's breathing all normal now. And I remember she's just, like, looking at me like, dude, I'm way stronger than you really think, you know? She was so strong, and they kept her in observation, but she was healthy. She was healthy, and she's super healthy right now. Same thing with Isaac the other day, or like a few weeks ago, he fell, and he ripped his mouth wide open. I'm, like, freaking out, and we're just thanking God. We have to thank God through our circumstances, guys. Trust me. I remember going to TJ with my parents, and I said, you know what? I'm going to stay back with my friends. So I stayed back with my friends. My brother, my parents went to TJ with some sister Lupe that comes to Esperanza. She's been faithful to us for a long time. You know, my Lupe, she's our usher. Super cool. We didn't think she was so cool when we were young, because she was an usher. And she would always be coming around and be like, give me your gum, or like, you know, sit over here, or whatever. But I love that lady. And they went to TJ, and my dad had a really nice Chevy Caprice. He had a Chevy Caprice. They went to go have some tacos, and they came back, and they thought they parked in the wrong spot, or like, oh, they couldn't find their car. They never found that car. They were riding back on the Greyhound from TJ, and I remember my dad said, he's like, it was funny because I told George and my wife and Sister Lupe, I said, all right, guys, let's just hold hands and let's just thank God. And my brother looked up and said, thank God? Thank God for what? My Game Boy was in that car. All our CDs were in that car. Why do we have to thank God for this? And my dad said he wanted to laugh, but he said, listen, son, who knows? God is bigger than people. People are just crazy, man. They jacked my dad's car. They just thank God. And they came back singing songs on the Greyhound bus. Listen, that should be our attitude. You know, it's silly, but people say when life throws you lemons, you make lemonade. Listen. When discouragement comes, just listen, call somebody. Call Joel. Call Pastor Paul. Call me. If you're a girl, call Chanel. Call Pastor Tamara. Text them. Text the leader. Trust me, they're not going to be like, we're too busy for you. Don't you know? I always say, hey, listen, I'm feeling a little discouraged. Let's sing a song together, and we'll do it. This is why we come to church, to lift each other up. Amen?